श्रीमद् भागवतम 1:12:1 चैप्टर 12 ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम एंटाइटल्ड बर्थ ऑफ एम्परर परीक्षित। वी बिगिन विद द फर्स्ट टेक्स्ट। शौनक उवाच अश्वत्थामानोपसृष्टेन ब्रह्मशिष्णोरुतेजसा उत्तरायाहतो गर्भ ईशने ईशेनाजीवितः पुनः। So, right in the first verse itself, Shunak Rishi highlights the extraordinariness of Parikshit Maharaj's birth by summarizing the incident. Ashwatthama, Ashwatthama no upasprishtena, no upasprishtena. So, upasprishtena means that which is released by him. Brahma Shirshnoru Tejasa. Brahma Shirshna was the weapon that he used. Uru Tejasa, it was ferocious heat it had. And Uttaraya Hato, Garbha. Her Garbha, her womb, that means it refers to the child in the womb, that was destroyed by the fire, by the fiery heat of that weapon. But Ishena Jivitaha Punaha, Ishena, by the Supreme Lord, Jivitaha Punaha, he was brought back to life once again. So, normally, death is considered irreversible. And if an infant dies, it is a very tragic thing because if someone who was on the verge of life, about to begin life, if they end up dead, it is definitely a tragic situation. But Ishena jivitaha punaha. It's wonderful if someone is brought back from the dead to the living. And that's what had happened to Parikshit Maharaj. And thus it was that from his very birth, or even before his birth, if we consider birth at the time when a person appears in this world, then this extraordinary incident happened even before his birth. So his life is extraordinary from even before the beginning of his life. And from the conception, during the gestation period itself, an astonishing thing had happened. Text 2 now. Tasya janma mahabuddhe karmani cha mahatmanaha nidhanam cha yathaivasit sapretya gatavan yatha. Tasya janma mahabuddhe. So, Chandrakrishi is asking questions. So, he knows some things about Parikshit Maharaj and he wants to know some more things. So, he starts by giving a brief summary and then he asks questions. Tasya janma mahabuddhe. He was very, very, very intelligent right from the birth. Karmani cha mahatmana, and his activities were also very great. Mahatmana. The Bhagavad Gita uses the word mahatma to refer to a devotee. Mahatmanastu maam partha daivim prakriti maashritaha bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadi maugayam. So Bhagavad Gita refers to Mahatma means a devotee. So the Atma is actually Anu, but when the Atma becomes devoted to the supremely Mahan person, supremely greatest person, then that Atma becomes Mahan, it becomes a Mahatma. So Nidhanam, so he is a Mahatma. So what were his activities were also wonderful, his intelligence was wonderful. And yet, now his death was also wonderful. Normally we don't really, when we are talking about a person, we don't immediately ask how did he die. But his death was also wonderful. Nidhanam cha yathai vasit. So yatha asit, how did his death happen? That also we want to know. Sapretya gatavan yatha. And what destination did he get after death? So all this he asks, and thus he continues this discussion. So he by these questions, he is ensuring that the narrative moves forward. Usually if we look at history, especially if it's in some sort of encyclopedia, we have the birth date and the death date of people. say somebody is from 1873 to 1952 or whatever. So now in such a situation, the birth date and the death date are talked about, but usually we don't talk. The birth is, you know, very few people will talk about how their birth was, because the birth is always common. They're all born crying from the womb, and unless somebody dies because of some extraordinary way, we just don't talk so much about the death. Somebody is killed in the battle or something like that. Otherwise, we don't talk so much about their death. But for Parikshit Maharaj, his birth and death both were extraordinary, and ultimately, the life in this world is a preparation for a otherworldly destination. So he asks, what is the otherworldly destination that Parikshit achieved? Text 3. Tad idam shrotum icchamo gaditum yadi manyase bruhina shraddhananam yasya jnanam adachukah. So tad idam shrotum icchamo. So that we all desire to hear. Shrotum icchamo gaditum yadi manyase. And we request you to narrate it. If you think it appropriate, gaditum, please narrate it. That's what we desire. Bruhina shraddhananam. It is, we are respectful, we are faithful. Prabhupada translates here shraddha as respect. Shraddha is normally translated as faith. But you know, we really can't have faith without having respect. So, faith. So Prabhupada focuses on the fact that they are respectful. Respectful to the subject, respectful to the teacher of the subject. They are respectful of Parikshit Maharaj and of Suta Goswami. So, yasya jnanam adachukah. Now, yasya jnanam, we want to hear about that subject, that person, who was chukah. Chukah means Shukadeva Goswami gave knowledge to that person. So the broad contours of Parikshit's life are summarized in the question which Parikshit Maharaj asks, Chanakrishi asks. And from the fourth text onwards, Suta Goswami responds. Suta vacha apipalad dharmarajah pitruvad ranjayan prajaha nispruha sarva kamebhya krishna padanu sevaya. Apipalad dharmarajaha. Dharmarajaha refers to Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was a very virtuous ruler. He is frequently referred in scripture as Dharmaraj. Apipalad dharmarajaha. So this Dharmaraj, what happened to him? He ruled and brought about abundant prosperity for his citizens. Pitravat ranjayan prajaha. Pitravat. And he dealt with the citizens like a father. So father means that, you know, he was affectionate, he was caring, he was protective. A father and children relationship is actually a very close relationship, and similar is the relationship here between the king and the citizens. Ranjayan, so he did not just provide for their needs, but he also pleased them. You know, care has to be offered, but care has to be offered in a way that is also pleasing to the people whom we are caring for. Yes, sometimes the caregivers, the guardians may have to do some things which the wards may not be pleased with. But overall, the giving of care is not just provision of physical necessities. It is also involves the provision of emotional necessities. And one emotional necessity is that, you know, we want pleasing reciprocations. We all want that. And that please, so here it is described that Yudhishthira Maharaj pleased the citizens. Ranjayan prajaha. He took prajaha. So those who were citizens, those who had taken birth in his kingdom, we could say. Nispruha sarva kamebhya. Now, while doing all this, Yudhishthira Maharaj was not motivated by any selfish desire. Nispruha, he had no desire. Sarvakamebhyo, he was free from selfish desires. Why was he? How was he free from that desire? Krishna padanu sevaya. He was devoted to the service of Krishna's lotus feet. He was tasting the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, and thus he did not feel the need for anything else. He was satisfied in Krishna padanu sevaya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that अशोक भयामृत पूर्ण सर्व खाना, एको न भुजिनु प्रभो तोमार चरण। He says that, my dear Lord, your lotus feet are like a imperishable storehouse of nectar, and it is this nectar that I am now relishing. Ashoka Bhai Amruta. It's a nectar which is immortal nectar. It makes one fearless, it makes one joyful. So here it is said that by serving Krishna's lotus feet, Yudhishthira Maharaj had no cravings, although he had royal prosperity, although he distributed, he cared for his citizens and satisfied them and pleased them and made his kingdom prosperous, but he was not in any way materially attached or materially desirous. Such was his spiritual exaltedness. Text 5. Sampadah kratavo loka mahishi bhrataro mahi jambu dvipadhipatyam cha yashascha trividam tridivam gatam. Sampadaha. So he had tremendous opulences, and with his opulences, Kratavo Loka. Kratavo means he was able to perform phenomenal sacrifices, and he had his future destination was also guaranteed. Loka. He had a huge loka in this huge kingdom in this world, and his future destination is also quite auspicious. Mahishi Bhrataro Mahi. Mahishi. So he had a beautiful queen that refers to Draupadi. Then Bhrataro, he had his brothers who were also glorious warriors. Mahi, he ruled on the earth. And Jambu Dvipadipatyam cha. Jambudvip Adhipatyam cha. Jambudvip refers to the broader planet. So his rule extended far, 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 far and wide. So Adhipatyam cha. And thus his glories, yashascha tridivam gatam. His glories, the news of his glory spread throughout the three worlds. Normally, if a person is wealthy, a person is virtuous, if a person is having lots of the markers of success, then they become famous. And still the fame of people spreads. How far it spreads depends on how famous or how successful or how wealthy or how prosperous they are. So here, Yudhishthira Maharaj was so prosperous that now for the heavenly planets, the earth is not a particularly prosperous place. Now for example, if we consider a country like America as a very prosperous country, and say as compared to that Somalia, well, that's not a particularly prosperous country. But if somebody is ruling Somalia, and while ruling Somalia, that person achieves phenomenal prosperity and makes the country also prosperous, and then America comes to know about it, then that's amazing. So like that, the earth is usually considered inferior, and it is the glories of the gods that the earth people of earth talk about. But it is very rarely that, it is not so common that it is the glory of the residents of earth the heavenly residents talk about. So that this inversion of the normal hierarchy happened because of the extraordinariness of the opulence that Yudhishthira Maharaj had. Text 6. Kimte kamaha suras paraha mukundamanaso dvijaha adhijaharur mudam rajyaha shuditasya yathetare. Kimte kamaha. So he had kamaha. So kama is desire, kamaha is the objects of desires. He had such extraordinary objects of desire available for him. But how extraordinary were they? Sura sparha. Spruha is desire. Sparha means that which is desired by suras, the devatas. So even the heavenly residents desired the kind of objects of opulence that he had, his palace was phenomenal. So normally say, as giving the example, you know, American fashions may be emulated by the rest of the world, but say if somebody makes such a magnificent palace in Somalia that Americans decide, oh, we would like to have a palace like this. Again, that is extraordinary. So normally in the earth, people perform sacrifices because they feel in heavens there are much more, much better objects to enjoy. But here Yudhishthir Maharaj had such objects to enjoy that the heavenly residents desired it. And the point of this is twofold, of this description. First, it is to show that a devotee, especially if they are blessed by the Lord, then the Lord can bless them with even fabulous material prosperity. So Yudhishthir Maharaj had to go through a long, long trouble during the course of the exile and before that the persecution by the Kauravas. But now, through it all, he had always been faithful to the Lord, and now he is being rewarded and rewarded abundantly. And what is the reward he's got? He has got fantastic material opulence, but he's not captivated by the material opulence. Mukundamanaso dvijaha. Oh, Dvija, oh, Brahmanas, Sutta Goswami is addressing Shaunakadi Rishi, and he's saying, there Mukundamanaso, Yudhishthira Maharaj's mind was absorbed in Mukunda, the bestower of liberation. Adijaharur mudam rajaha. So, nothing of this world could satisfy him. Mudam, it did not give him pleasure, it did not give him joy. Rajaha, that king, Shuditasya yathetare, just like a hungry person is looking for something else. So he was hungry. What was he hungry for? He was hungry for the Lord. He was not hungry for worldly opulence. And so Shuditasya yathetare. Normally when we have hunger, you know, we are not satisfied till we get food. So like that. Now it's not that Yudhishthira Maharaj is consuming the Lord, but rather hunger indicates a state of incompleteness, and the heart longs for love, and love is fulfilled in relationship with Krishna. So his heart was longing for Krishna, and although he had the kind of phenomenal things which people in this world long for, but still he was not satisfied, and it is that he was satisfied only when he was satisfied only in devotion to Krishna. He had got such a higher taste. Param drushtva nivartate. He did not seek anything else. Text 7. Matur garbhagato viraha satada bhrugunandana yadarsha purusham kanchit dahyamano astra tejasam. So here, it's interesting that the question that the Shaunakrishi had asked was about Parikshit Maharaj. And when Sutta Goswami starts the answer, so he doesn't talk about Parikshit Maharaj directly. He talks about Yudhishthir Maharaj and his phenomenal rule. So what is the reason? That is giving the setting. And so Parikshit Maharaj, how he was born amidst both material and spiritual opulence. That is being talked about. He was going to inherit a kingdom that was very prosperous materially, because he was going to be the heir of Yudhishthir eventually, the grandson. They did not have any sons in that generation to become heirs. And further, he was going to, he also got the samskaras of immense devotion. So the exalted devotion of Yudhishthira Maharaj is also underscored. So he had, that was his Yudhishthira Maharaj's spiritual prosperity. And it was in this atmosphere of material and spiritual prosperity that Parikshit was born. So that is talked about, that is conveyed by talking about Yudhishthira before talking about Parikshit. And from this verse onwards, he talks about Sutta Goswami talks about Parikshit and he says, Matur garbha gato. So while he was situated in his mother's womb, Viraha, he had, this child himself was heroic and he had seen a great hero also, Viraha. Satada Bhrugu Nandana, all descendants of Bhrugu, or Brahmanas. At that time, this hero, what he had seen? Dadarisha Purusham Kanchet. He had seen the Purusha, he had seen the person. Dahyamanostha Tejasa. So while he was being, while he was suffering from the heat of the Ashwatthama's Astra, he had seen this mysterious person appear and he had seen this person come and rescue him. And now, even now, medical science knows that actually the embryo is conscious in the womb. And the level of consciousness may vary, but especially, say, if a child, they attempt to abort the child and they send some device into the mother's womb in order to, say, crush the child, at that time, the embryo moves to the far extreme, away from that object. And then it tries to escape, tries desperately to escape that object. So, of course, that is a, it's quite a, disturbing image to consider how in the womb the child is killed. But the point here is, the relevant point is that the child is conscious, that is known to us also, to modern science also. Now the level of consciousness they may not be able to appreciate right now, but especially in the case of great souls and in the case of near-death situations, the consciousness can get heightened. And so described here that Parikshit beheld the Supreme Lord who had rescued him from death. So text 8 goes on and describe this. Angushtamatram amalam sphurat puratam aulinam api vidarshanam shyamam tadir vasasam achyutam. So the description, what had he, Parikshit seen at that time, that is described in this verse. Angushtamatram amalam. Angushtamatram, it is the size of a thumb. Amalam, spotless. Normally the spots are the spots of material contamination and there were no spots here. Spurat puratama maulinam. So it's blazing of gold. Maulinam, he was wearing a golden helmet. And apivyadarshanam shamam, it was very beautiful, astonishingly beautiful to look at. Shamam, it was bluish black in complexion. Tadidavasa samachutam tadid. And his clothes were like lightning. Achutam, this was the infallible Lord. Normally when we see people, what do we see? Now we see their complexion, we see their dress, we see what they are, what especially what all they are wearing, we see their size. So now Parikshit himself was very small, the womb is a small place. So the Lord has also appeared in a small form, Angushtamatram. And three features of his are described. So he, the Prabhupada often translates the crown as a helmet. So maulinam. So a helmet is more like a protective gear, whereas crown is more like a decorative gear, decorative object. And obviously the Lord doesn't need a helmet. So it's a, but either way, the point is, there is a kind of, there is something which is worn on the head. And so here it is described that the Lord wore a shining golden crown, and then he had a dark complexion, and he was wearing a dress like shining lightning, and thus he was overall extraordinarily beautiful. And such was the vision that Parikshit had when he saw the Lord. Further, that description is given now. Srimad Dirgha Chaturbahum Tapta Kanchana Kundalam Kshatajaksham Gadapanim Atmanah Sarvatodisham Paribhramantam Ulkabham Brahmyantam Gadamuhu. Srimad Dirgha Chaturbahum. This Lord is not, it is Krishna, but his Krishna is manifested in his Vishnu form. who has come to fight and defend, and he's manifested here in Vishnu form. So Srimad Dirgha Chaturbahum, so he has four arms. Dirgha, long forearms. Tapta Kanchana Kundalam, and he's wearing earrings which are of the color of molten gold, shining. Kshatajaksham Gada Panim. Kshatajaksham. Normally, the lords are is Padma. Lord is described as Padma Netra, or his lotus eyes is described. But here, you know, there's a small infant being killed brutally, and this is an occasion for concern and even fury. And that fury of the Lord is conveyed through his Shatajaksham. His eyes are red with fury. Gada, Panim. And he's come to defend the infant, so he has his weapon. So the weapon he's brought here is Gada. In his hands, Panim. Atmana Sarvato Disham. Atmana Sarvato. So now, normally a mace is considered to be a very powerful weapon, and if it's moved round and round and round, then no one can approach the person who is equipped with such a mace which is moving so forcefully. So like that, Atmana Sarvato Disham, it's moving round and round, and he is in this way warding off the Brahmastra. Paribhramantam Ulka Bham Paribhramantam, it is moving round and round like a Ulka, like a shooting star. It's moving so fast. So Brahmyantam Gadam Muhum, rapidly moving the Gada. So the Lord is using his weapon, his Gada to protect him. So here the vision continues, and this is what Parikshit has seen. How wonderful it is to, you know, we all long to have the darshan of the Lord, and how wonderful it is to have the darshan of the Lord right in the womb itself. What can be more special, more fortunate? Practically the first object that the eyes have seen are the form of the Lord, and it is a matter of great fortune. So text 10, Astra Tejaha Swagadaya Niharam Iva Gopatihi Vidhamantam Sanikarshe Paryaikshataka Ityasau. So Astra Tejaha Swagadaya, so the effulgence of that formidable weapon. Now that weapon was actually hurting and burning and threatening Parikshit with its effulgence. It was threatening to scorch him. So Astra Teja Swagadaya. So with his own, in his own mace, the Lord was checking and driving away that formidable weapon. Niharam Iva Gopatihi. Now, Gopatihi, Gopati refers to the sun. Now, the Lord pushed back that effulgence with his own prowess, and the example is given that dew drops, just as they are evaporated by the sun. So, actually, there was not much of a fight. Once the Lord came on the scene and once he started acting, the opponents were no match for him. So he just pushed it off effortlessly in one sense. He had put in effort, but the effort was in resisting the Kshetra, and there was no big fight over there. They all just Vidhimantam Sanikarshe. So at that time, as this formidable, unstoppable weapon was so easily checked and routed by this mysterious person, Sannikarshe Paryaikshatam. So nearby, so close to the infant, all this was happening, and San Parikshate, Ikshate is with the eyes. So he's observing, Ka Itya Asau, who is this? So this child, he observed, oh, who is this wonderfully beautiful person? And this person is not just beautiful also, but also powerful. That this is so easily countered and drew or pushed away this formidable weapon. So he pondered the identity of this extraordinary person. Text 11, Vidhuya tad ame atma bhagavan dharma gubvibhu mishto dashamasasya tatraivantarda deharihi. Vidhuya tad. So, in this way, completely vidhuya, dissipating, destroying, removing thoroughly the influence, any danger that was there of that weapon. Tad Ameyatma, that Lord who is Ameyatma, who is all pervading. Bhagavan Dharma Gup Vibhu. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, is Dharma Gup, who is the protector of righteousness. Vibhu, who is great, who is all powerful. Mishato Dashamasasya. Mishato Dashamasasya. While observing of one who is so now, actually that child, he observed, and tatraiva antadadhe harihi. At that time, he actually pervades all the directions. You know, in one sense, sometimes the word one who is dressed by the direction refers to one who is undressed. It's so small children are dressed by the direction, it is said. Chaitanya Bhagavata especially uses this phrase. Here what it refers to is that the Lord is all pervading. And in one sense, so the directions extend infinitely, and similarly, the Lord's form and his dress also extends infinitely. That Lord had, all pervading Lord had manifested here, and after manifesting here, he was acting so wonderfully. And then antardadhe, he disappeared. Harihi, that Supreme Lord, he just disappeared from there. Such is the wonderful nature of that Lord. And who is this Lord? That Parikshit Maharaj had the question. And how he moved forward from there, not just from that moment, but in his life based on this question, trying to seek the answer to this question, that will be discussed in the future class.